Chapter 1. Command and Control Overview. This chapter provides a summary of Command and Control, C2, doctrine. It addresses C2, Mission Command, and the C2 warfighting function and its associated tasks and system. Command and Control. C2 is fundamental to the art and science of warfare. No single activity in operations is more important than C2. By itself, C2 will not secure an objective, destroy an enemy target, or deliver supplies. However, none of these activities could be coordinated towards a common objective or synchronized to achieve maximum effect without effective C2. It is through the countless activities of C2 that a military force implements to perform, gain purpose, and find direction. The goal of C2 is mission accomplishment. Command is the authoritative act of making decisions and ordering action, while control is the act of monitoring and influencing that action. Both are essential to all military operations. Together, command and control is the exercise of authority and direction by a properly designated commander over assigned and attached forces in the accomplishment of the mission. JP1. Commanders are the focal point of C2. They must assess situations, make decisions, and direct action. They provide purpose, direction, and motivation to instill the will to win. Commanders seek to understand the situation, visualize the operational approach and end state, and describe these in their commander's intent and planning guidance. During execution, commanders direct the actions of subordinates and adjust operations based on changes to the situation and feedback from subordinate units, external organizations, and their staffs. Commanders directly influence operations by their actions and personal presence. Command. Commanders make decisions and order action through command. Command is the authority that a commander in the armed forces lawfully exercises over subordinates by virtue of rank or assignment. JP1. Command resides with the commander and includes the authority and responsibility for effectively using available resources for planning the employment of, organizing, directing, coordinating, and controlling military forces for the accomplishment of missions. The key elements of command are authority, responsibility, decision-making, leadership. Inherent in command is the authority that a military commander lawfully exercises over subordinates, including the authority to assign tasks and the responsibility for their successful completion. The authority to enforce orders by law is one of the key elements of command and distinguishes military commanders from other leaders and managers. With authority comes responsibility. Commanders are legally and ethically responsible for their decisions and for the actions, accomplishments, and failures of their subordinates. Commanders may delegate authority, but delegation does not absolve commanders of their responsibility to the higher echelon commander. Commanders are always accountable for what happens or fails to happen in their command. Commanders exercise their authority through decision-making and leadership. Decision-making refers to selecting a course of action as the one most favorable to accomplish the mission, and it includes making adjustments to plans during the execution of an operation. Decision-making includes knowing whether to decide or not, when and what to decide, and understanding and accepting risk. Commanders use understanding, visualization, description, and direction to make and communicate their decisions. Commanders rely on their education, experience, knowledge, and judgment in applying authority as they decide, plan how to achieve the end state, and lead, direct their forces during preparation and execution, all while assessing progress. Leadership refers to influencing people by providing purpose, direction, and motivation while operating to accomplish the mission and improve the organization. It is the unifying and multiplying element of combat power. Commanders lead through a combination of personal example, persuasion, and compulsion. Commanders employ leadership to translate decisions into effective action by forces. For more information on command authority and responsibilities of the commander, see AR-600-20. Control. The commander uses control to monitor and influence actions they ordered. Control is the regulation of forces and warfighting functions to accomplish the mission in accordance with the commander's intent. ADP-60. Commanders exercise control over all forces in their area of operations, aided by their C2 system. Staffs aid the commander in exercising control by supporting the commander's decision-making, assisting subordinate commanders, staffs, and units, and keeping units and organizations outside the headquarters informed. Key components of control include direction, feedback, information, communications. Commanders, assisted by their staffs, direct the actions of their subordinates within their commander's intent, the unit's mission, and the concept of operations. Commanders provide direction and communicate information, usually in plans and orders that provide subordinate forces tasks and instruct them how to cooperate within a broader concept of operations. In the process, commanders receive feedback from subordinates and others so commanders can update their visualization and modify plans. This feedback creates a reciprocal flow of information that leads to a shared understanding among all participants. Feedback is information commanders receive during operations. Commanders use feedback to compare the actual situation with the plan and then decide if the plan requires any changes or adjustments. Feedback takes many forms, including information, knowledge, experience, and wisdom. Feedback comes from many sources: subordinates, higher headquarters, or adjacent, supporting, and supported forces. It arrives continuously, before, during, or after operations. This helps commanders and subordinates gain shared understanding. Central to providing direction and receiving feedback is information. The amount of information that is available makes managing information and turning it into effective decisions and actions critical to success during operations. Commanders and staffs employ knowledge management techniques to add clarity to information, speed its dissemination, and support situational understanding and decision-making. Commanders receive and communicate information to build shared understanding and to direct, coordinate, and synchronize the actions of subordinate units. Commanders' intent, orders, control measures, and standard operating procedures, SOPs, all assist with the control of operations. Determining the appropriate level of control in a particular situation is a critical command responsibility. Commanders and staffs disseminate information among people, elements, and places. Communication is more than mere transmission of information. It is an activity that allows commanders, subordinates, and unified action partners to create shared understanding that supports action. It is a means to exercise control over forces. Communication links information to decisions and decisions to action. Communication among the parts of a command enables their coordinated action. Mission Command. Mission Command helps commanders employ subordinates to achieve the commander's intent in changing conditions. Mission Command is the Army's approach to command and control that empowers subordinate decision-making and decentralized execution appropriate to the situation. ADP-60. Mission Command supports the Army's operational concept and its emphasis on seizing, retaining, and exploiting the initiative. The Mission Command approach to C2 is based on the Army's view that most plans change rapidly during execution to account for changes in the situation. No commander is ever sufficiently informed to make every decision, nor can the commander make all the decisions that need to be made in every instance during combat. Commanders have to rely on subordinates to carry out their commander's intent. Subordinate leaders often have a better understanding and are better poised to make decisions at their level during a battle. successful mission command is enabled by the principles of competence, mutual trust, shared understanding, commander's intent, mission orders, disciplined initiative, risk acceptance. Subordinate leaders are more likely to respond effectively to threats and opportunities if allowed to make decisions and act based on changing and unforeseen situations to achieve their commander's intent. Enemy forces may behave differently from expected, a route may become impassable, or units could consume supplies at unexpected rates. Friction and unforeseeable combinations of variables impose uncertainty in all operations and require an approach to C2 that does not attempt to impose perfect order, but rather accepts uncertainty and makes allowances for unpredictability. Mission Command helps commanders capitalize on their subordinates' ingenuity, innovation, and decision-making to achieve the commander's intent when conditions change or current orders are no longer relevant. It requires subordinates who seek opportunities and commanders who accept risk for subordinates trying to meet their intent. Subordinate decision-making and decentralized execution appropriate to the situation help manage uncertainty and enable a necessary tempo at each echelon during operations. See ADP 6.0 for more discussion on Mission Command. Command and Control Warfighting Function. Commanders use warfighting functions to generate combat power. A warfighting function is a group of tasks and systems united by a common purpose that commanders use to accomplish missions and training objectives. ADP 3.0. Warfighting functions are the physical means that tactical commanders use to execute operations and accomplish missions assigned by superior tactical and operational level commanders. The command and control warfighting function is the related tasks and a system that enable commanders to synchronize and converge all elements of combat power. ADP 3.0. The primary purpose of the C2 warfighting function is to assist commanders in integrating the other elements of combat power, leadership, information, movement and maneuver, intelligence, fires, sustainment, and protection, to achieve objectives and accomplish missions. The C2 warfighting function consists of the C2 warfighting function tasks and the C2 system. The C2 warfighting function tasks focus on integrating the activities of the other elements of combat power to accomplish missions. Commanders, assisted by their staffs, integrate numerous processes and activities within the headquarters and across the force through the C2 warfighting function. These tasks are described in ADP 6.0. Command forces, control operations, drive the operations process, establish the C2 system. Command and control system. Commanders cannot exercise C2 alone. Even at the lowest levels, commanders need support to exercise C2. At every echelon of command, each commander has a C2 system to provide that support. The command and control system is the arrangement of people, processes, networks, and command posts that enable commanders to conduct operations. ADP 6.0. The C2 system consists of all the resources used to support C2 and enhances the commander's ability to conduct operations. Commanders organize a C2 system to support the commander's decision-making, collect, create, and maintain relevant information and prepare products to support the commander's and leader's understanding and visualization, prepare and communicate directives. To provide these three overlapping functions, commanders must effectively locate, design and organize the four components of their C2 system: people, processes, networks, and command posts, CPs. People. The most important component of the C2 system is people, those who assist commanders and exercise control on their behalf. An effective C2 system accounts for the characteristics and limits of human nature. Simultaneously, it exploits and enhances uniquely human skills. People dedicated to the C2 system include commanders, seconds in command, command sergeants major, staffs, and liaison officers. Commanders. The place and time the commander resides in the area of operations are important considerations for effective C2. No standard pattern or simple prescription exists for command presence. Different commanders lead differently. Commanders consider their position in relation to the forces they command and the mission. Their location can have important consequences, not only for the command, but also for executing operations. The C2 system helps commanders position themselves forward without losing access to the information and analysis available from their CPs. Commanders balance their time among the CP and staff, subordinate commanders, forces, and other organizations to make the greatest contribution to success. CPs serve as the focus for information exchange, planning, and analysis. They provide commanders direct access to the staff and allow them to communicate with superior, subordinate, and supporting commanders. While at a CP, commanders provide vital face-to-face guidance to staff members when developing plans and controlling operations. By moving to the locations of subordinates or to critical points in an area of operations, commanders can better access and influence the state of operations. They can personally gauge the condition of their units and leaders and consult directly with subordinate commanders performing critical tasks. By being forward, commanders can also motivate subordinates through personal example. Where a commander is located can bring the leadership element of combat power directly to an operation, especially when that location allows for personal presence and the ability to directly observe events and see things that the C2 system might not convey. Being physically present can allow a commander to assess a much broader set of indicators of the unit's condition. Commanders gain firsthand appreciation for the human aspects of a situation that can rarely be gained any other way. Equally important, commanders can actually see terrain and weather conditions that maps or reports might not clearly describe. Commanders can avoid the delays and distortions that occur as information travels down and up the chain of command. Finally, by their presence, commanders direct emphasis to critical spots and focus efforts on them. Some of the factors that influence a commander's location include the need to understand the situation, the need to make decisions, the need to communicate, the need to motivate subordinates. Seconds in command. At all levels, the second in command is the commander's principal assistant. The second in command may be a deputy commander, an assistant commander, or the executive officer. Commanders determine the duties and responsibilities of their deputy and assistant commanders. These duties and responsibilities are formally declared and outlined in a memorandum or SOP signed by the commander. Usually, at company through brigade echelons, the executive officer is the second in command. In a theater army, corps, or division, the deputy or assistant commander extends the commander's span of control in areas and functions that the commander designates. In organizations with more than one deputy or assistant, the commander designates which one is the second in command. Delegating authority to the seconds in command reduces the burden on commanders and allows them to focus on particular areas or concerns while their seconds in command concentrate on others. Normally, commanders delegate authority to seconds in command to act in their name for specific functions and responsibilities. Command Sergeants Major. The Command Sergeant Major, CSM, is the senior non-commissioned officer of the command at battalion and higher levels. The CSM's role in both mentoring subordinate organizations and staffs is critical, as they provide the expertise, present the experience, and instill morale. A CSM assists the commander in assessing, leading, and directing. The commander drives the operations process, and the CSM drives the force by transmitting and translating the commander's intent and inspiring soldiers. The CSM transmits the commander's intent across the formation, down and across, translates the intent so that every member of the team can understand, and inspires the formation to achieve mission success. CSMs carry out policies and enforce standards for the performance, individual training, and conduct of enlisted soldiers. They give advice and initiate recommendations to commanders and staffs in matters pertaining to enlisted soldiers. CSMs administer the Unit Non-Commissioned Officers Development Program. In operations, commanders employ their CSMs throughout the area of operations to extend command influence, assess morale of the force, and assist during critical events. Company First Sergeants and Platoon Sergeants perform similar functions at company and platoon levels. Staffs. Staffs support commanders in making and implementing decisions and in integrating and synchronizing combat power. Effective staffs multiply a unit's effectiveness. They provide timely and relevant information and analysis, make estimates and recommendations, prepare plans and orders, assist in controlling operations, and assess the progress of operations for the commander. Primary responsibilities of any staffs are to support the commander, assist subordinate commanders, staffs, and units, inform units and organizations outside the headquarters. See Chapter 2 for information on the staff. Liaison officers. Liaison is that contact or intercommunication maintained between elements of military forces or other agencies to ensure mutual understanding and unity of purpose and action. Most commonly used for establishing and maintaining close communications, liaison continuously enables direct physical communications between commands and with unified action partners. Commanders use liaison during operations and normal daily activities to facilitate a shared understanding and purpose among organizations, preserve freedom of action, and maintain flexibility. Liaison provides commanders with relevant information and answers to operational questions, thus enhancing the commander's situational understanding. Liaison activities augment the commander's ability to synchronize and converge all elements of combat power into their concept of operations and scheme of maneuver. These activities include establishing and maintaining physical contact and communications between elements of military forces and non-military agencies during operations. Liaison activities ensure cooperation and understanding among commanders and staffs of different headquarters. Coordination on tactical matters to achieve unity of effort. Synchronization of lethal and non-lethal effects. Understanding of implied or inferred coordination measures to achieve synchronized results. A liaison officer represents a commander or staff officer. Liaison officers transmit information directly, bypassing headquarters and staff layers. A trained, competent, trusted, and informed liaison officer, either a commissioned or a non-commissioned officer, is the key to effective liaison. Liaison officers must have the commander's full confidence and sufficient experience for the mission. At higher echelons, the complexity of operations often requires more senior-ranking liaison officers. See Chapter 3 for additional information on liaisons. Processes. Commanders establish and use systematic processes and procedures to organize the activities within their headquarters and throughout the force. Processes are a series of actions directed to an end state, such as the operations process and integrating processes. The Army's framework for organizing and putting command and control into action is the operations process. The major command and control activities performed during operations, planning, preparing, executing, and continuously assessing the operation, ADP 5-0. Commanders use the operations process to drive the conceptual and detailed planning necessary to understand an operational environment, known as OE, visualize and describe the operation's end state and operational approach, make and articulate decisions, and direct, lead, and assess operations. In addition to the operations process, commanders and staffs use integrating processes to synchronize specific functions. Integrating processes consist of a number of steps and activities that integrate the warfighting functions by incorporating multiple disciplines to achieve a specific end. the integrating processes are intelligence preparation of the battlefield, described in ATP 2-01.3, information collection, described in FM 3-55, targeting, described in ATP 3-60, risk management, described in ATP 5-19, knowledge management, described in Chapter 5. See ADP 5.0 and FM 5.0 for more information on the operations process and integrating processes. Procedures are standard, detailed steps that prescribe how to perform specific tasks. CJCSM 5120.01 Bravo. Procedures govern actions within the C2 system to make it more effective and efficient. For example, SOPs often provide detailed unit instructions on how to configure common operational picture, known as COP, displays. Adhering to processes and procedures minimizes confusion, misunderstanding, and hesitation, as commanders frequently make rapid decisions to meet operational requirements. C2 procedures are designed for simplicity and speed. They should be simple enough to perform quickly and smoothly under conditions of extreme stress. They should be efficient enough to increase tempo. Streamlined staff planning sequences are preferable to deliberate or elaborate ones. Commanders establish procedures to streamline operations and written orders and help integrate new soldiers and detachments. Usually explained in unit SOPs, procedures help commanders make decisions faster by providing relevant information in standard, easy-to-understand formats. Procedures describe routine actions, thus eliminating repetitive decisions, such as where to put people in a CP, how to set up a CP, and march formations. Procedures do not cover every possible situation. Units avoid applying procedures blindly to the wrong tasks or the wrong situations, which can lead to ineffective, even counterproductive performance. Commanders establish a battle rhythm as a procedural way to organize the activities within their headquarters and throughout the force. As a deliberate daily cycle of command, staff, and unit activities, battle rhythm intends to synchronize current and future operations. A headquarters battle rhythm consists of a series of meetings, including working groups and boards, briefings, and other activities synchronized by time and purpose. See Chapter 4 for discussion on battle rhythm. Networks. Generally, a network is a grouping of things that are interconnected to collect, process, store, display, disseminate, and protect information worldwide. Networks enable commanders to communicate information and control forces, whether mounted or dismounted. Networks are key enablers to successful operations. Commanders determine their information requirements and focus their staffs and organizations on using the network to meet these requirements in the most simple and efficient manner possible. These network capabilities relieve the staff of handling routine data and enable extensive information sharing, collaborative planning, execution, and assessment that promote shared understanding. The network consists of end-user applications, information services and data, network transport and management. See Chapter 6 for more discussion on networks and CP communications. Command posts. Effective C2 requires continuous and often immediate close coordination, synchronization, and information sharing across the staff. To promote this, commanders organize their staffs and other components of the C2 system into CPs to assist them in effectively conducting operations. CPs provide a physical location for people, processes, and networks to directly assist commanders in understanding, visualizing, describing, directing, leading, and assessing operations. CPs vary in size, complexity, and focus, such as the main CP or the tactical CP. They may be composed of vehicles, containers, and tents, or they may be located in buildings. Commanders systematically arrange platforms, operation centers, signal nodes, and support equipment in ways best suited for a particular operational environment. Examples of equipment needed to sustain a C2 system include vehicles, radio or signal equipment, generators, and lighting. Functions common to all CPs include conducting knowledge management and information management. See Chapter 5 for more information. Building and maintaining situational understanding. Maintaining running estimates in support of the commander's decision-making. Controlling operations. Assessing operations. Coordinating with internal and external organizations. Performing CP administration. See Chapter 7, Chapter 8, and Chapter 9 for a detailed discussion of CPs. See Appendix E for a discussion of procedures associated with running a CP. Multinational considerations. Multinational operations consist of military actions conducted by forces of two or more nations, undertaken within the structure of a coalition or alliance. When an army headquarters serves as a multinational headquarters, commanders have additional considerations for establishing the command and control system. The staff must tailor and configure the headquarters to accommodate the different people, processes, networks, and command posts required to execute the operation. Some considerations include command structure, staffing, liaisons and coordination, communications, translators and interpreters, multinational information sharing. For more information on considerations for establishing, organizing, and operating multinational headquarters, see Chapter 7. Conclusion. Commanders cannot exercise C2 alone. Even at the lowest level, commanders need support to exercise C2 effectively. At every echelon of command, each commander has a C2 system. Commanders arrange people, processes, and networks into CPs to best facilitate their exercise of authority and direction.